All right, we're going to be in 2 Peter, chapter number 1 this morning. I'm going to take a couple of weeks break from the book of Proverbs while we're in the holiday season. And then we go to Georgia on the 6th to preach a revival down there. And when we come back, we'll pick back up on the book of Proverbs. But let's continue from Wednesday night and talk a little bit about 2 Peter chapter 1. As I said on Wednesday night, it's a great chapter, a lot of good stuff in there. If you'll pay attention to it, it is a very important chapter. Of course, I could say that about any chapter in the Bible, couldn't I? I could say that it was an important chapter. But there's a lot of good stuff in here for the believer, for the Christian. Sometimes the hyper-dispensationalists will cut it up and say you don't need anything out of Peter or James or anything like that, but that's foolishness. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Amen. Amen. So that's the part of that verse I want to point out to you. It's profitable. And this chapter right here be very profitable. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll read a little bit, and we'll try to pick up right where we left off on Wednesday night. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the song that's been sung, the prayer that's already been prayed. Thank you for all the extra little children we've got running around this morning. Got some folks that are normally in here out doing other things this morning in the gym and in the Sunday school classes. And Lord, as I walked around down there, saw a lot of new faces and extra kids that are around. Maybe they've been here before, but I've not seen them before. I maybe hadn't been here and have come back for today. God, a special event. We pray you'd bless those events. But more than ever and above all, God, we pray that you'd bless the preaching of your word. I pray that you'd help me. I pray that you'd forgive my sins. And Lord, I can't really pray this in reality for other folks, but I pray you'd forgive each and every one. I pray that the prayer of their heart would be forgiveness of sins and, Lord, a closer relationship with you. Help us, God. We struggle in the flesh. And I pray, God, you'd just help us to be as we ought to be this morning in your presence. And I thank you, God, for all that you do. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I always like these introductions to these books, especially the Pauline epistles, but all of these books, when they're writing, they usually have a little introduction, a salutation, they're called in the big wig circles in the big schools. You know, they got all these chapters outlined, and this is the salutation, and this is the body of the letter, and then all that good stuff. But there's usually a lot of good stuff in just the opening verses. A lot of people say, well, that don't, nothing really there, but there's a lot of good stuff here, and we talked about some of those things on Wednesday night. But then as I'm reading here this morning, I noticed this. It says that this book is written to those that have obtained like precious faith with us. Now, the hyper-dispensational say this was written to the Jews. Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but if I'm reading somebody else's mail, I look and see who it's addressed to. Amen? And when I look to see who this is addressed to, it's to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. Amen. I've obtained that like precious faith. And I wonder this morning, just starting off, going to talk about some of these things that will strengthen the believer. That's what we're talking about on Wednesday night. And I'm wondering if the faith is precious to you. And that's a lot of times what governs our life, is what's precious to us at the time. At the time, it might be a good meal. Sometimes, you know, you go 2 or 3 days eating bologna sandwiches, which I think is a pretty good meal. But you might get a hankering for lobster, which I think is terrible. I always heard people talk about lobster. It's just like eating a roach or something to me. But man, I don't know. I finally got to try one time. I accidentally started making, you know, above minimum wage, and thought I'd try one. And they overrated in my book. I don't know if you like them or not, but and you've got a perfect right to. If you love meat all you want, you can have my share. Yeah. Amen. But, you know, sometimes you're just eating regular old bologna sandwich or beanie weenies, which I think highly of those too. I guess the poor food's what I really like. Potted meat, some of y'all probably don't like that, don't even know what it is. That's the stuff they sell down at the dollar store. That's good stuff, amen. I was raised on some of that stuff. Get out riding the horse and be out all day and ask your dad, what you got in the saddlebag for lunch? Potted meat, beanie weenies, that kind of stuff. We was raised on that. But at any rate, I always wondered, we was poor when I was growing up, but we had money for horses. I didn't understand that too good. Back in the day, that was a luxury thing. I think when we were down in Georgia a couple years ago, they were trying to give horses away. They couldn't sell them for nothing. The bottom dropped out of the market on that, I guess. But when we was growing up, all the rich people had horses. And I'd ask my mom and dad, hey, can I have this? We're poor. Then I'd come home with a new quarter horse. Barrel racers. Like, man, we got a special kind of poor going on here. But at any rate, you know, that's the way it is, you know, for kids. You know, when the kid asks for something, we're poor. When mom and dad wants it, we're not that poor. Yeah. Amen? That's the way it works, ain't it? But at any rate, you get a taste for something better. Amen? You get a taste for something better. And, you know, a lot of times Christians go through the place where, you know, they just got religion. And I'm talking about everybody now. When I say that, you think, yeah, that brother I know, he's just religious. Well, we all go through places where we just, you know, playing the role or going through the motions. And sometimes you get up, you're real high, and you attain some level of spirituality in your life. And it's real and good and honest. And then you slip back into the rut. But after a while, you get that longing in your heart for something real. And that's when your faith really becomes precious to you. The fact that your sins are forgiven really means something to you. The fact that you can go boldly before the throne of grace when you need help, that really becomes a precious commodity to you from time to time, don't it? It's not an everyday thing. I wish it was, but we're men in the flesh. Sometimes getting our car fixed is more important than getting our relationship right with the Lord. Sometimes, you know, maybe patching the roof or maybe getting a new house with a new roof, a house we're not going to have to put a roof on for 30 years. That kind of stuff comes to the forefront of our mind. Better job maybe, or maybe a better car, something like that takes the forefront of what's precious to us, what's really a priority to us. That kind of, you know, smudges out the thing that ought to mean the most to us. But this book here is written to those who have obtained like precious faith. And whether it is that your faith is precious to you right now, this minute, you really do have something that's precious. That word precious means worth. It has great worth and great value to it. And so just because you don't feel that it's precious don't mean that it is. It's just you got to get that connection back. That's called relationship. That's called, fellowship. We all have a relationship with the Lord. Like a father and a son, that's the relationship. I just named the relationship father and son. You're related. That's why they call it related. We're being, you know, me and my dad are related. So we're always going to have a relationship. The thing that gets broken is fellowship. Yeah. Amen? The book of 1 John talks about that relationship. He said if we say we have fellowship, we deceive ourselves. We walk in darkness and say we got fellowship with God. We're lying. We're lying to ourselves. Well, sometimes we got to just realize once we're going astray, we got to realize that what we really have is precious, it's valuable, and what you're really talking about is restoring that fellowship with God. We've got the relationship. In the doctrinal circles, they talk about your standing and your state, and that's absolutely something that everybody ought to know about and be mindful of on a regular basis. Your standing is you're a son of God. You believe on Christ, you're saved. Amen. But you don't always act saved, and you don't always feel saved. If you read on down in this chapter, which we will eventually, it says that he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's a problem with fellowship. And that's a problem with your state. Your standing is you're a son, but your state is you got some corrosion on you. We talked about that a little bit on Wednesday night. Look, your corruption, talking about your fellowship. A father and a son is always going to be a father and a son, but they're not always going to be on speaking terms. Have you ever seen a father and a son get mad at one another? Yep. Amen. It ain't usually daddy's fault. It can be. But it's usually that wayward son, yep, or the mindful son. A son be mindful of his own ways and forget the ways of his father. Yep. Amen. I don't think it ought to be that way, and it really ought not be that way. But that causes some friction. Sometimes they'll go years without speaking, years without talking. Sometimes there's a legitimate cause for it. Sometimes there's not too good cause for it. But the relationship's still there. Yep. You can change your name. He'll still be your daddy. Amen. See, I was adopted when I was a boy. My name hadn't always been Easter. It used to be Underwood. And, they went through a process. My mother got divorced and married somebody else, and that man adopted me, and I got his last name, and he was a good daddy to me. But there's never that nothing that'll ever change the fact that my dad was an Underwood, and that you can put Easter on my last name and bury me in the ground. That man always going to be my father. You can't change that. But the fellowship never was there. Not 2 cents worth of fellowship have I ever had with my father. But that doesn't change anything. The relationship's still there. And a lot of times Christians get to that point where them and their heavenly father just don't have a very good fellowship. You got relationships. So you got to be mindful of your standing. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. It's all boiled down to this: is your faith the faith? Not talking about just faith in Jesus or faith in the blood or faith. I'm talking about the faith, the complete and total summary of what we believe. Is it precious to you? And a lot of people at times say, well, you know, it's not being a Baptist that sends you to heaven. No, it's not being a Baptist that sends you to heaven. That's true. But I like being a Baptist because my faith leads me to be that. You know, oh, it's not the building you go to. This is just a building. Well, I kind of like it because it's part of my faith. My faith compels me to meet together here. And that's why, you know, a lot of people say, well, the building don't mean nothing. Well, you know, Paul told Timothy, he said that this book, the book of Timothy, he said, this book, I'm writing you this book to show you how you ought to behave in the house of God. He wasn't talking about a body. He's talking about a collection of believers. He's talking about, as Paul talked about in the Corinthians, he said, if the whole church be gathered together in one place, what is that? That's the house of God. And it's a brick and mortar building. You ought to behave yourself in it. And so that's part of my belief, and that's part of my faith. It's the sum total of what I believe. And if one part of it gets messed up, it needs to be fixed and corrected because it's a precious thing. It's a worthy thing. It's a valuable thing. And stuff doesn't ever get corrected unless it's precious to you. If you got a 78 Oldsmobile eat up with rust, you probably don't spend too much time polishing it. It's not precious. It's not a precious thing. But when you see a thing as precious, now if you restore it to mint condition, you're probably going to set it up in a garage and make sure the birds don't mess it up and all. Make sure your kids don't drive it. Amen? Or your wife don't drive it. Boy, I hadn't told you about the first day I bought my Cadillac. Now, a lot of people pick on me because I got a Cadillac. Oh, preacher, got a Cadillac. Well, it's a 10-year-old Cadillac, and it didn't cost that much money, but it is a nice car, and I rather like it. If you don't like it, you're just jealous. That's your problem. Amen? People usually say something, usually the ones that's jealous. You know, people get up, you know, they get dressed up and come to church and see the assistant pastor sitting up there with overalls on, say, oh, you look like a farmer. Well, you're just jealous because you ain't got the guts to dress the way you want to dress to come to church. All right, well, you see Christmas tree boy running around here today, you're going to pick on him. You're just jealous because you can't do something like that. You're too self-conscious to do something like that yourself. Amen. But at any rate, well, I don't like it. Well, don't look at it. If somebody wants to dress silly, that's their business. Somebody wants to wear overalls, that's their business. But, you know, I've never spent a lot of time worried about what men wore. Yeah. Amen. I never looked at a man and said, well, let me see how he's dressed. No. I don't spend much time with that at all. But at any rate, you know, I was talking about women driving your car. I went and bought that car, and like I say, it wasn't a lot of money, but it was nice. And my Cadillac, preacher's Cadillac. Our church used to give our preacher down there in North Carolina, they gave him a new Cadillac on a regular basis. I'm talking about for Christmas. They'd pull it up beside the church right there at the little side door, and they'd have a ceremony and give him the keys. I thought it was a wonderful thing. I got to ride with him in it down to the radio broadcast every Sunday. My dad went with him, and I rode right there in the middle. And boy, they had a bunch of buttons on a Cadillac back there in the 70s, man. Those buttons. I think all the high cost of the vehicle was probably for all the materials it took to make all the buttons in it. But I brought my Cadillac home and had it sitting in the driveway all shined up nice and new, new to me. And my wife says, "You're going to let me drive it?" So I said, "Sure, jump in it and take it." A little bit rainy outside. And they took it on down. All the girls piled in there with them. They took it downtown. They come back. Ruth rushes in the door back to the back room. I was like, "What's going on here?" Abigail comes in playing the intercessor. "Don't get mad. Your day's about to take a turn for the worse when somebody says, now don't get mad." Mm-hmm. Well, she turns in. She's going down the highway, and all the stop signs, all the stop lights are out in town because it's been a storm. One of those hurricanes or something was nearby and knocked out the power or something like that. But at any rate, she's going to turn left onto Main Street, and she turns into the wrong lane, and they got these stop signs set up, and she just rakes that stop sign down the side of the Cadillac. Now, if it's just an old rust bucket, you say, "Oh, don't worry about it." But if it's precious to you and somebody messes it up, you say, "It's okay." It took all the grace that I could muster up that day. But my kids had already come to me and said, "Hey, don't get mad." So I'm trying to, you know, keep a good reputation in front of my kids. I really have always tried to keep a good reputation in front of my kids, not lose it too bad, not be too, because they're precious to me too. Amen. Amen. And a car, when it comes to your family, a car just falls on the list of precious things. Well, here's my poor little wife. She's done wrecked her car she does this on a regular basis. She does. That Suburban, sometimes go down, look down the driver's side of that thing. She's hit stop signs. And those big fluorescent green, fluorescent yellow, you can't miss it from three blocks. They got them right there at the bank so you don't hit the teller lady and stuff like that. She hits those and rubs it all down the side of the car. God bless her little heart, but she's more important than a vehicle, amen. I mean, insurance premiums, we're going to pay them, but stuff like that. I mean, your vehicle and your family and stuff like that. If it's precious to you, you take care of it. If it's just an old rust bucket, it don't matter. You neglect it. And that's what we're talking about when we read a verse like this. It says that this chapter is written to those that have attained like precious faith. And if you've got a precious faith that really means something to you, this chapter here is about maintaining that. And God has the best maintenance plan that there is. When it comes to preaching the gospel and getting people saved, God has the best plan. God is a great maker up of plans. He just knows how to do things. God created the worlds, and it's all he had to do is set it in motion. It's been spinning ever since he made it. Amen? If you're one of these gap theory guys, it's been spinning for 10 billion years, I guess. If not, if you're like me and got a little bit of sense, it's been spinning for about 6,000 or 7,000 years, and it's going just fine. Still rains every once in a while. Yeah. Sun still comes out. Hurricanes blow through once in a while. Jet stream moves up and down through the ocean. Amen? Yeah. Every once in a while we get global warming. Every once in a while we get global cooling. Everything equals out just fine. Yeah. You say, why? Because God made it. And it's just going to keep doing what it does. If it's been here 10 billion years, or if it's been here 7,000 years, don't make no difference. God made it right. It's going to last till he says for it to stop doing what it ought to do. Yep. Amen? You know, the only thing in this universe that keeps on doing what it's supposed to do are things that don't have a mind of its own. Yep. God sets the sun out there and says, shine. That can't do otherwise. Don't have a mind of its own. The Lord sets the planets out here and says, spin around that sun. That's what they do. Yep. Now, there's a bunch of folks, you know, even Baptists nowadays begin to wonder about that. Yeah. Amen. Flat earth. Flat head. Yeah. Amen. The thing that's flat, your head, it's not the earth. Amen. But at any rate, the Lord set that stuff out there and said, work this way, and it's been working that way, and it don't have a mind of its own. It can't change. It just does what it ought to be. And the Bible says a Christian has the mind of Christ. We don't have a mind of our own. Yep. You stick to the mind of Christ and do things God's way, things will work right. Yep. Amen. Amen. You don't have to have you don't have to have 50,000 programs to try to get somebody saved. You just go preach the gospel. Yep. Down at the workplace, preach the gospel. Down at the Elks Lodge, preach the gospel. Brother Mike Baptist don't go to the Elks Lodge. You got a lot to learn. Baptists do a lot of things. Down at the Masons, preach the gospel. They might kick you out, but Brother Mike, no Baptist belongs to the Masons. You're out of your mind. Plenty of Baptists are Masons. Amen. The Southern Baptist, in the Southern Baptist Church, the Masons are running it, but in the Independent Baptist Church, they take the ring off before they come in the door, stick it in their pocket. That's true. But if you're going to go to the Masons meeting, tell them about Jesus while you're down there. You say, why? Because that's what works. Yep. That's the plan God made, and that's the thing that's going to work. Going to work. You can have all the Friday night socials and play all the basketball and do all the pizza you want to do. Pizza and basketball ain't going to save nobody. If you ain't preaching the gospel, it ain't going to get nothing done. You can have all the membership drives and all the ladies' auxiliaries that you want to have. Do whatever you feel like you need to do. If you ain't preaching the gospel, folks ain't going to get saved. At some point, people decide, well, we'll just start baptizing all the babies. We'll have automatic church members. You don't get saved that way. You get saved by preaching the gospel. Yep. Amen. Because it's God's plan. And you get God's plan to get saved, folks will get saved. If you get God's plan to maintain a Christian life like we have here in 2 Peter chapter 1, it'll be maintained. You do these things and it'll turn out right. Now let's see what it said. I said we were going to pick up where we left off last week, but we ended up spending a lot of time in verse number 1. Like precious faith. Is your faith precious to you, or has it kind of slipped by the wayside? When you first got saved, remember that? How all the weight lifted up off your shoulders and you began to think, well, maybe there is something new under the sun. Amen. Never heard nothing like this. Never seen nobody shout, say amen before. This modern day crowd, boy, I don't really want to go to that church. They say amen, get loud. That's what they do at the Ravens ball game. Yeah. You mean I can get excited when a 250-pound midget scores a touchdown, but I can't shout about Jesus dying for my sins and taking them all away? That don't make much sense, does it? Yeah. Amen. We ought to at least be, the football games have cheerleaders. We don't need none of them around here, but we ought to have somebody leading the cheers around here. Faith being precious to them, glad they're saved, jumping up and down saying, hallelujah. Amen. It ought not be offensive to a Christian. Well, it's rather rowdy in there, and I'm a little bit more sensible. Until somebody, you know, scores 60 points, LeBron James or something like that. Oh, he's the greatest ever. No, Jesus is the greatest ever. Amen. Amen. When Bruce Willis jumped out of a 50-story building and shot somebody on every floor as he went, that's awesome. No, it's not awesome. It's made up. It's fake. And that never happened. That never happened. Amen. Harrison Ford didn't find the lost ark or none of that stuff. None of that stuff happened. It didn't happen. Amen. Get excited about movies and can't get excited that Jesus forgave all your sins. Amen. You ought to learn to get excited about the right things, and your faith will become precious to you. And that goes towards a lot of what I'm saying. The right things aren't precious, just got your mind focused in the wrong place. Mama used to tell us no sweets before dinner. Right? I think probably that stuff, I don't know if that stuff still happens or not, but they used to tell kids, no, you can't eat nothing. You can't eat, you know. We used to come in, I'm kind of hungry. We'll get outside and play. Yeah. It wasn't like, well, you know, wasn't even no explanations. Just no, get outside. I kind of want something to eat. There's an apple tree out there. Get one of those. Of course, you didn't do that to her face. She'd knock you out. But now you got mama standing there trying to convince the kid for 45 minutes why he can't have another Tootsie Roll before eating dinner. It's because you get your mouth set on something that's bad for you, and then you don't want the stuff that's good for you.
Yep.
Amen. That's the way it is. So you get your mind set on all these things. All the things of the world is precious to you, and it doesn't seem reasonable to you to get excited about the things that are right and good and holy and godly. I mean, like it's talking about here, the like precious faith. This is the stuff we ought to be excited about. Jesus died for your sins.
Amen.
Died on the cross. He rose again the third day. He ascended up to heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father to be our mediator. All the problems you got, take it right to your lawyer. The Bible says he makes intercession for you. Amen. God give you his spirit. The Bible says that spirit makes intercession for us and prays for us. The Bible says when you don't know how to pray, the Spirit of God in you makes intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. You get down on your knees and say, oh God, I need $1,000,000. And the Holy Spirit says, now what he really needs is just to be calm, have a little patience, and wait on you just a little bit. That's what he really needs, Lord. And the Holy Spirit straightens out all your prayers for you. That's worth its weight in gold right there. And you can't even measure its weight, but it's worth its weight in gold. Those are precious things. And that's, I guess what I'm talking about this morning is appetite. And the faith is going to be precious or not according to your appetite, according to what you got your mind focused on. And I tell you, I wanted to get on down through the chapter, but I feel like the Lord spoke what he wanted to speak right there, and I'm going to pray, and we'll just take some extra time this morning between the services. Lord, I do thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for all the folks that's gathered here this morning. Lord, all these folks working on the buses have done a lot of work to try to get something done this morning. I pray you'd bless that. But above all things, God, I pray you'd bless your word. I pray you'd bless the singing. I pray you'd bless the service to the hearts of the people, those that are saved. And Lord, if there be one that comes in lost today, I pray you'd save them, have mercy on them. Introduce them to this like precious faith that we've been experiencing all down through the years. And we'll thank you and praise you, God, for everything that you do. Have your will and way this morning. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.